as you're making your way back to your pew, you can remain standing. But I do want to welcome everyone here this morning. Thank you for being here, and I hope you're excited. It's such an exciting Sunday. Missions Conference Sunday is always an exciting Sunday because on this Sunday, we specifically make a point and we make an effort to impact our world. Usually on Sundays, we try to impact our city by reaching those in our city. But on Missions Conference Sunday, we make an emphasis to say we're going to reach our world. And what we give today, what we promise to give today, can change our world. Literally can change our world. And so I hope you're excited to be a part of that this Sunday. Let me just welcome you if you are a guest this morning. Thank you so much for being our guest. And I hope this service will be a blessing to you and for you. And if you've not received a guest packet, if you will just raise your hand, let the ushers know that you're a guest that's not received the guest packet. You'll find in the guest packet there are some gifts for you for being our guest. And there's also an information card that if you would just fill that out for us and then maybe give it back to an usher on your way out today, that would really be a blessing for us just to be able to get to know you a little bit better. And that way you get to know us a little bit better. And hopefully it's something that will be a blessing for you, the gifts that are in that bag. But we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would just go ahead and make their way forward. And as we prepare now to worship God through giving, I do just want to say that in this Sunday, as I've mentioned before, not only do we impact our world from what we give to missions and what we give to God, but giving is also a reflection of our heart. And this morning, we want to do our very best to just tell God, God, I love you. And you can say it, you can sing it, as we've sang already, but you also can give it. And this morning, we want to do our very best to show God our heart towards Him, how much we love Him. And this morning, as we give, we will give with a heart of worship and a heart of love. And I hope we'll all have that as we give this morning. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God to bless this time of worship. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today. Thank you, Father, because it is by your grace and your mercy that we are here. Your salvation has transformed us and changed us. And Father, I pray if there be anyone here that has yet to know you as their Savior, that perhaps today would be the day in which they know Jesus not only as a great man that lived once on this earth, but that they would know him personally as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you would bless this time of worship as we give. Your word teaches us that through this time of giving, we show you that we love you. We are thankful and grateful for the blessings that we have received of your hand. And though we can never pay you back, this offering is not to pay you back. This offering is to say, Father, that we do love you, that we want our hearts to be knitted to your heart. And then, Father, as we give even today towards missions, Father, we know that missions is on your heart, for you were the first one to send someone. You sent your only begotten Son to this earth that you might pay for the sin of the world. And so, Father, as we see your heart towards us, Father, may we have that same heart towards others. May we do all that we can to give them and share with them the gospel that one day transformed our lives. So, Father, I pray that in these moments of worship, that you would be exalted, that you would receive all the honor and glory in what we do in these next few moments. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This morning, it is our privilege to have one of our missionaries with us this morning, and Ethan has been someone that has been a friend to me, a close friend to me for quite a few years. We've known him really basically all of their lives. His father is a missionary in Mexico, and we've supported him at this church for many, many years. And so I kind of grew up knowing Ethan, but I guess in the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, we've really gotten to know one another a lot more personally. And he's just been a blessing. Him and his wife, Beth, have been such a blessing to me as a friend, as a pastor, and an encouragement. They've been missionaries to Panama the last, I guess, 2 years, maybe 3 years now. And it's an amazing ministry that they have going down there. Ethan is not only a missionary giving the gospel down there in Panama, but he's also a pilot. And he literally built his own plane, and he's going to be flying it down to Panama and using that as an extension of his ministry to be able to go. He reaches not only the native Panama people there in Spanish, but he also goes into what would be maybe a reservation, like an Indian reservation there in Panama, to reach some of the native tribes there that are living in the mountains. And it's just an amazing, amazing ministry. I think we have a presentation this morning, so we'll cue that up. And let me just say, we'll see the presentation, and then after the presentation, Brother Ethan will come and preach for us this morning. But I don't want to take too much time of his preaching time, but I just want to say that it's just an encouragement to see my generation, those that are in our 30s, our generation still wanting to surrender to do what God wants to do and to go where God sends. And Ethan's been an example in that, certainly. And he's a godly man, and I appreciate his testimony. I know he's going to be a help to us in the message this morning. So after the presentation, please welcome Ethan after this.
My name is Ethan Shields. I am sent out of Benz Ford Baptist Church under Pastor Caleb Martin. I am a third-generation missionary who had the privilege of growing up on the mission field in Mexico. God has blessed me and my wife, Beth, with 4 children, Elena, Noah, Sophia, and Julia, all of whom were born on the mission field. During my teen years, God used 2 Corinthians 10:16 to call me into full-time ministry. In 2012, our family moved to the mission field of Mexico. And then in 2016, God led us to Panama, where we currently serve.
The tropical country of Panama is world famous for its beautiful beaches, premier coffee, and above all, the Panama Canal, which connects the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. Located between Costa Rica and Colombia, Panama is roughly the size of Tennessee. It is home to 4.1 million people and boasts 7 different indigenous people groups. It's a modern country with a booming economy that still retains deep historical and cultural roots. we minister alongside a great group of people, missionaries from Costa Rica, missionaries from the United States, and national pastors too. Our main base is at New Hope Baptist Church. It's from here that our team plants new churches and has a girls' home, kids' clubs, a deaf ministry, and much more. Our team is committed to shining the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to the Panamanians, with a focus predominantly on an indigenous people group, the Nobe. The Nobe people live in a comarca, which is the equivalent to a state or province. The Nobe Bukle comarca is home to almost 300,000 people. The Nobe live a very simple lifestyle and are typically subsistence farmers, workers on coffee plantations, or fishermen. Although their clothing is brightly colored, their souls are ensnared in spiritual darkness. The Nobe have their own religion called Mamatada, and their trinity is made up of Jesus, Mary, and Satan. Their symbol is a cross with a snake coming out the side, and they hold services at night to invite spirits to possess them. But praise the Lord, there are already about 15 Nobe pastors, along with many more indigenous lay workers, who are answering the call to reach their own people. Our team has started, or are assisting, 17 different churches in this mountainous region, and have 5 more church plants in progress. Our goal is to have 100 churches started by the year 2030.
To help us reach this goal, our team has started a Bible Institute to train pastors and leaders for the ministry. Seminario Bautista Nueva Esperanza furthers the Bible training of these national leaders and has grown to the point that we now have 2 locations. It's an amazing feeling to take them deep into the scriptures and then give them the tools to dig deeper for themselves.
These pastors and our team are establishing churches on the edges of Comarca and are working towards the interior. But giving ample attention to new church plants is much more difficult when most people live in secluded villages that are only accessible by foot. The Comarca only stretches about 40 miles from north to south, but the terrain goes from sea level up to 9,000 feet in elevation and back down again. Because of this rugged mountain terrain, there are no roads or electricity in the interior of the Comarca. Communities that may only be 10 miles away as the crow flies require a 2-day hike. However, many of these hiking trails become practically impassable during the 8-month-long rainy season. This makes it extremely difficult, and in many cases, very dangerous, to enter to evangelize these people.
This is the reason for aviation. In order to help us more effectively plant churches and train leaders, God led me to build an airplane that is especially designed for landing on rugged, unimproved airstrips in very short distances. These unique capabilities make it ideal to meet the demands of this mission field. Our airplane, paired with the effectiveness of a team of national pastors, is a perfect match. It makes these isolated villages accessible and enables us to more effectively evangelize them.
The dense jungle vegetation on the mountains not only makes it difficult to enter to evangelize, it also makes it difficult to leave for medical help. Therefore, another aspect of the aviation ministry that we will implement is medical evacuations. Too many people die due to lack of simple medical attention. The nearest clinic may be an 8-hour hike away. Even then, the clinics frequently lack adequate supplies. Far too often, we hear of babies and small children dying from common illnesses or infections. Several of these deaths can be avoided simply by a quick response time in getting to a hospital.
The spiritual health of the Nobe people is our main priority. These medical evacuations will be an amazing tool to open opportunities to share the gospel in new places. The purpose of missions is not to evangelize the whole world. It is to plant churches where they currently don't exist, and then train the people to reach their own world. By further training national pastors and using aviation, we are multiplying church planning efforts exponentially. Regions that were once beyond are now within reach. That's what we're called to do, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond.
The outside button, but not the inside button. Amen. All right, how about now? Amen. Let's try that again. Good morning. It is my privilege to be here this morning. I congratulate you on your wise choice in being in church this morning. I tell you what, I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again because it is still true. Music here at Bethany Baptist Church is world class. Trust me, I've lived in three countries and been in hundreds of churches, and it's world class. Amen. I really appreciate that. That's one of the main differences when we come back from the field and come into churches here in America. The music is absolutely a blessing, and the good preaching, except when I preach. The good preaching here is just great. It's so good to be here, all the familiar faces. And I'm really excited that there's a bunch of faces I don't know. Amen. To see the growth, that's an encouragement. We're just so privileged to be in the service of the Lord and in Panama. And there's so many things I'd like to tell you, but I do want to get to this message. And I just want to encourage you, if you have any questions or any comments and stuff, my wife is an amazing media manager, and she does a fantastic job. So if you want to keep in touch with us on Facebook, that would be a fantastic way for you to learn more about our ministry, to keep in touch with us. That would be a blessing to us, and I hope that would be a blessing to you as well. Brother Jeremy mentioned this, and I mentioned it in the video as well. I built the airplane that we're going to be using on the field. The airplane right now is hangared, as of this last week, is hangared in Weslaco Airport. And yes, Weslaco has an airport. It's a little thing, but it's hangared there. But Jonathan Latham is graciously letting us put it there in his hangar for free. So that's a huge blessing. We did have it hangared in Ohio. It was $200 a month. And so having it hangered here is a huge blessing. It's also one third of the way to Panama. So we're excited that it's one third closer there. Now we have the land that we need to develop, to build our own runway and our own hangar. And that's a whole long story in and of itself. And I don't have time to develop that whole thing. But that's been a huge blessing. We're excited about what the Lord's going to be doing through that. While I was building airplanes, it started in 2009, took 3 years to build. While we were on deputation, and I started studying more in depth Noah because I felt a kindred spirit with him. You see, God didn't by accident give the commandment to build the ark to just anybody. He gave Noah certain abilities, and he knew who he was calling to build an ark. That was a monumental task, and God gave him the abilities to do that. And he gave him the sons and everything, but he blessed him with those abilities. And so I started to study him because God told me to build an airplane. An airplane, ark, I know they're not the same thing, but a lot of people on deputation would ask me, I mean, point blank, I remember this question multiple times, what makes you think you're qualified to build an airplane? And I said, excellent question, and it's very valid. I'm going to answer it this way. Let me remind you that the Titanic was built by professionals, and Noah's Ark was built by a novice. Amen? It's not about who actually does the work, it's who goes with you on the voyage. God wasn't anywhere near the Titanic. But God was with Noah and his family and all those animals on that ark, and it didn't matter the storm, it mattered who was with him and who was protecting him. So we built an airplane. Amen. Turn with me, if you would. Am I doing something wrong? Turn with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 6. Amen. Let's try this one. No scratchy noises. All right. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. Very briefly, I want us to look at the story of Noah building the ark. It's a very simple concept I want us to get here with Mr. Noah. And yes, that is why I named my son Noah. Noah was born while we were building the airplane. And I felt such a kindred spirit with Noah. And one of the principles that I learned during building the airplane is a great prayer for my son, and that is why I named my son Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to read through verse 14. It says, God tells Noah here in verse 14, verse 12 through 14, says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you, Lord, for this morning, the privilege that it is to be in your house. Prayer, God, I thank you for your goodness that you have allowed us to be here freely, to be able to worship your holy name with such beautiful music, and be able to enjoy the blessings that you have given us, Lord, the life and the freedom. And God, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would use your word to affect your people today. And if there is someone here today, God, that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you would touch their heart, that you would not give them peace, that they would be able to get true peace that surpasses all understanding that is only through your Son, Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us, God, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we would be encouraged to work in your ministry, to do what we are supposed to do and be obedient to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The title of this message this morning is No Expiration Date. No expiration date. So here we see these three verses that we read. One order, one commandment given to Noah. Anybody know offhand how many years it took Noah to build the ark? It was 120 years. 120 years. After verse 14, there's several verses there of details given about the ark. Several verses, and it ends in verse 21. So all of these instructions, and then in verse 21, the instructions end. And I want you to look at verse 22. And we're going to remember this because at the end of the message, we come back to this verse. So in verse 12, God tells Noah what's wrong. Verse 13, what's wrong. And in verse 14, he tells them to make an ark. And in verse 15, through 21, he gives them the details, the sizes, the dimensions, and so forth of the ark. We won't take time to read all that, but you can see it there. Verse 22, it jumps 120 years. Okay? I want you to grasp that. There's a gap of 120 years between verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 22 says, thus did Noah according to all God commanded him, so did he. Wow! What a gap! In one man's life, just 120 years. And He did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. My question for us this morning is, can it be said of us at the end of our life, thus did, fill in your name, according to all that God commanded he or she, so did he or she. Ouch. Well, on that thought, I want us to remember your times of insecurity, your times of doubt. Do you not believe, do you not think that in 120 years of building the ark, Noah ever doubted? Noah ever wondered? God, are you sure? Look, I will assure you it was not an easy task. The airplane only took me 3 years to build. And I had instructions. And YouTube. Hey, I kid you not. I used YouTube at least 2 times a week. If I didn't know how to do something, I would look it up on YouTube. And more than likely, there was a video showing me how to do what I needed to do. Noah didn't have YouTube. And he didn't have Google. Yes, I used Google. And Amazon. I bought all sorts of tools on Amazon. He didn't have those things. I only took 3 years. And I had so many days that I doubted, that I questioned, God, are you sure? I would really like a way out right now. This is hard. Do you know that 80% of all aircraft, experimental aircraft, that's what you call what, when you build it, it's called experimental aircraft. 80% of all experimental aircraft that are finished by the third owner. Yeah. And the average is 15 years. So 3 years might seem long, but I built it really quick. And I was the first guy to buy the kit and finish it. It's a testimony to the Lord keeping us through that. But I can promise you, Noah was human. He went through some doubtful times. But you notice nothing there was given. There was no expiration date to his commandment. God just said, do it. And then he was expected to do it. We all expect to read verse 21 and then read verse 22 and we all just gloss over that and go, yeah, well, of course he did it. God told him to do it. So we just expect it to be so. Partially because we know the story, but partially that's which is what we expect of all these superhuman heroes in the Bible. They just, of course, they're not supposed to disobey. They're supposed to obey. The bad ones are there for an example for us not to follow, and the good ones, they're just these superhuman people. That's us. We're just human. He was just human. I promise you, he went through times of doubt. We don't have one record of Noah going back to God and saying, God, can you reaffirm? Can you help me again? Are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure that this is what you want me to do? I'm having some doubt. I'm having some trouble. I'm having some trials here that people don't want to sell me wood or pitch. And I'm really discouraged right now. I want you to tell me again what you want me to do. Not once. But yet, we expect Noah to have done his job. There was no expiration date. There's so many things in our life today that have expiration date. You know, milk has an expiration date. Meat has an expiration date. Aviation, IFR clearances have expiration dates. There's a 15-minute window. If you don't take off in that 15-minute window, your clearance to take off expires, and you can't take off. So there's even those rules that have expiration date. But the commandment that God gave Noah had no expiration date. I stress that because you and I also, we as humans have an expiration date. Okay? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Mankind has an expiration date. This world has an expiration date. Okay? Our opportunity to affect this world has an expiration date. I don't know what it is. God knows, but I'm telling you, it's there. your very life, this world, all those things have an expiration date. James 4:14 says, life is but a vapor. And I'm 36. I was married 13 years ago. And let me tell you, life is whizzing by. It is just, Elena is 12. Say what? 6 more years and she's in college? Whoa, whoa, hold on. This is going way too fast. And all of you will know that and recognize that to be true. Our opportunity to affect this world has an expiration date. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, first part says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Our opportunity to affect mankind in missions is limited. But something that doesn't have an expiration date, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You notice something that we don't see there is verse 19. There's no expiration date to that. We are supposed to do that until the job is complete. Just like Noah was given a commandment, and he was expected to fulfill it and complete it and finish it till its culmination, till the day that it was needed, till that day of destruction, God waited and held off his judgment until he was ready, until that job was done. I don't know if God had it timed just perfectly so that he knew the day was going to come and he knew that it was going to take him 120 years, or if it worked the other way around, God gave him the commandment and held off his judgment until it was done. I don't know, but I do know this. There was a day of judgment coming, and God gave Noah a job to do and waited until it was time. The same thing is true for us today. There is a day of judgment coming. There is a day when Jesus Christ will come back and judge this world, and we have a job to do until that day. And there is not given a date of expiration to that except for Jesus' coming. This is your commandment, church. This is my reason for being a missionary. I preached a message on Friday about Mr. Zebedee, James and John's father, and Salome, and how every single one of us in the church have a place to do something. Mr. Zebedee stayed, and he stayed as a fisherman, and he continued supporting Jesus' ministry. And Salome, she wasn't called by Jesus, but she got up, she got busy, and she went after God, and she went after Jesus, she went after her sons, and she was serving Jesus. And then James and John, they stayed by Jesus, they served Jesus, they were in the inner circle next to Jesus, and they were faithful ultimately until martyrdom. And every single one of people of that family was faithful in Jesus' ministry, doing the part that they needed to do. Sometimes you're called into the ministry like James and John. That's what you need to do, not something else. But sometimes you're not called into the ministry like Salome, but you can open your eyes, look around, see what needs to be done, get busy and go do it, and serve your church, serve missions, serve whatever you see is before you. Ask God what you can do to further his gospel, further his kingdom. And sometimes what you need to do is stay at your local church, be faithful, get those big bucks, support your church, support missions, and help it make it happen like Zebedee did. After all, I preached on a Friday, it was so beautiful and perfect. We went to Hermano Chapa's house and we had this magnificent taco meal. I have been craving that for 2 years. I haven't had a decent salsa in 2 years. The best salsa I've had in 2 years was La Costeña. And hey, I'm thankful for La Costeña. I'm not knocking it. It's good when you don't have anything else. But when you've had salsa from a molcajete in a kitchen in Mexico, oh my soul, La Costeña is far from that. And we went to Hermano Chapa's house, and I said to several people there, I'm like, this is Mr. Zebedee right here. He is staying here. He is faithful, and he is supporting missions. And I'm eating at Mr. Zebedee's table tonight. This is awesome. There is room for each and every one of us to be busy, to do what God, to be a part of this formula. God has given us a commandment, and there's years of obedience. A commandment with no expiration date. Verse 19, it gives us the ultimatum. It says, go, teach, baptize. That is the biblical way that we should do this. Not coffee shops. Amen. I'm not knocking coffee. I'm just saying, it's teaching, it's baptizing, it's preaching. That's the way that the Great Commission is going to be accomplished. Plant self-supporting, reproducing indigenous churches. You heard me say in the video, and I'll say it again, the purpose of missions is not to evangelize the whole world, but plant churches where they currently don't exist, and then the people reach their own world. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans, turn there quickly. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Verse 11 through 14 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I want you to go back there to verse 12. Verse 11 says, and that knowing that the time is, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. What is the author here saying? He's saying, wake up! There is a job to do, and we need to do it. The time is at hand. When is the day gonna come? When it is said of Bethania, like Genesis 6:22 said of Noah, and thus did Bethania Baptist Church, according to all that the Lord commanded them. All it takes is obedience. I tell my kids all the time, Jason taught me this, I tell my kids all the time, life is full of choices. Choices have consequences. Make the right choices. Church, the right choice here is obey the Lord. What is God telling you to do? I don't know. Is he telling you to surrender to be a missionary? I don't know. If he is, do it. Is God telling you to increase your faith promise? I don't know. But if he is, do it. Is God telling you to get busy in your church and do something? I don't know. But if he is, do it. I promise you this, he's not telling you nothing. If he's not telling you one of those three, he might be telling you to get saved. Amen? And if he's doing that, today is the day of salvation. You need to get saved. Amen? But let's be obedient to the Lord so it can be said of us and of our church, thus did they, according to all the Lord commanded him. So did they. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your love, and mercy. Thank you for the privilege that it is to serve you. God, I pray that you would help us be obedient to you this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ethan. And what a great challenge and a great reminder this morning from the Word of God to keep on keeping on. And this morning is all about that. If you would you open your bulletins? And in your bulletins, you'll find a card that looks like this. It says Bethany Baptist Church on it, in mission with a mission. It says something like this. And I want to explain a little bit about what this card is, because we're going to fill it out in just a moment. And what this card is a faith promise card. And what you do with faith promise card is you're going to write down what you believe by faith God wants you to give to support to missions. And this morning, as I said earlier, it's our opportunity to impact eternity, impact our world. Okay, we don't always have an opportunity to do that, but today we do. And so we want to look at this card. You'll see there that it has weekly or monthly. And so you can promise, if you would like, you can promise to say, I want to give weekly to the missions fund. And what we do in our missions fund is we support people like Brother Ethan and others. I think we have over 50 missionaries that we are supporting currently right now in our church. But I don't know about you. I'd like it to make it 60. Right. We want to keep supporting as many as we can that will go out and preach the gospel. So you can decide this morning to say, I want to give weekly, and you can say in a weekly amount, say, I'm going to give this much to missions every week. Or you can put a monthly amount. All right. Don't do both, because then we're going to add both of them together. And you're going to be getting like $1 million. We don't need. Well, we could use $1 million, but I'm not sure that you have $1 million to give. So you can choose one or the other. You can give either weekly or you can give monthly. And then you can write down the date and write down your name. Now, you'll see that on the side of this card, there's a little perforated place that. That little piece of perforation paper there, you can go ahead and put your name and repeat what you're going to put, and that's to give you a reminder. You can tear it off and maybe put it in your Bible or put it somewhere to just remind you of the promise that you are making today to support our missions program, to support missionaries like the Shields family and others that were here this week. We've got, I think, five different countries represented this week. Panama is Brother Ethan. We have one from Argentina that is here as well. One from Chile yesterday was here. We got one from Mexico as well. And so we've got different countries that are represented, missionaries that are going to different countries giving the gospel. So if you would, just fill one out, and you can fill both of them out. The small one is yours. You keep that in your Bible. The bigger one is going to be either placed in the offering plate in a moment. All right. We'll place that in the offering plate. And that way we can add it up, and that way see how much that we're going to do this year for missions, what we're going to do to get the gospel message out to those that we cannot reach ourselves, but those that we're going to support, that they can go and reach them for us. They represent the gospel that we believe, and we're going to support those that go and do that. And so, Brother Josue, go ahead and play maybe one stanza of a song. Why don't you take time right now, take a pen out, fill that out, whatever the Lord is leading you to give this morning, write that down. And it's just going to be something that by faith you're going to be giving, all right? I know you don't have the total amount perhaps right now, but pray to get that out if you would at this moment. We'll give you a couple minutes to do that before we pick them up. I'm asking the ushers if they would come on forward, and we're going to take a moment and pray for this offering. This is, like I said, a special offering in which we are going to be giving our faith promise for missions this year. I also want to say, I know on Friday night, if you were 15 years at least here at our church, and many of you will remember him. He's a really tall German man that ministers there in Mexico. He's one of our missionaries in Mexico, in Chihuahua, Mexico. And he's just such a blessing. Billy was with us a few years ago. He preached our morning service on our missions conference, I want to say 2 years ago. But this year, they found that he has, I don't know, some illness with his kidneys that are affecting his kidneys. And it looks like he may have to have both kidneys replaced, but for sure one kidney. He'll have to have one at least transplant, perhaps two. He's only about 30 years old, I want to say, or 31. He's been serving with his dad for many years there since he got out of Bible college and went back to Chihuahua, helping his dad in the ministry there. And he just got this news, I want to say, maybe 3 months ago. He was supposed to be in our missions conference this week, and he wasn't able to do that. And the treatment that they're giving him is actually treatment that is for cancer patients. They told him he doesn't have cancer, but the treatment that they give him will be what they give cancer patients. So it's going to be a very intensive treatment. And Brother Billy doesn't have any insurance. He does private pay every time. And I want to say, if I remember correctly, that they told him it was going to be about $300 a month for that treatment. I don't know how long that treatment's going to be. I want to say that they told him a year or two. And so that is a lot of money to come up with on top of having to provide for his family. He's got three children, all, I want to say, like ages six and below or seven and below. And so I want to, this morning, we took an offering for him on Friday, and I want to do that with us in this service as well. If you give by text, the key word is Billy, B-I-L-L-Y. Billy, if you want, and anything that comes in through the text giving that way will go directly to Billy. And if you have cash or if you want a check and you want to put that in this offering as well, everything 100% that goes into this offering will go for Billy and for his, the medical expenses that he's going to be having to take on in these next year or two. If you find in your heart that God's leading you to do this, I hope you'll participate in that. And be a blessing to Brother Billy as he's going through what he's going through. All right. So this morning, why don't we stand? I'm gonna ask if you would. Let's go ahead and stand, and we're gonna pray. And then as we pray, I'm gonna ask the computer back there if you would queue up "Send the Light." And as we pick up the offering after the prayer, we'll sing "Send the Light." It'll be a great song to dismiss us this morning and remind us of the mission that God has called us to. I love what Brother Ethan said. There's no expiration date, and I love that. No expiration date. We're going to do this year. We're going to do it again next year. We're going to do it the year after that until the Lord comes. And it's very exciting to be a part of this. I hope you're excited to be a part of it because it's just awesome to impact our world. It's funny. You watch on cable, and you got these people wearing ribbons, and you got these people wearing, you know, pink hats and all this nonsense. And they're all saying, oh, we're going to impact and change the U.S. And really, all that they do, many of them don't change much. But what we do here literally changes our world. And I hope you're excited to be a part of that because there's very few things in our world that really impact. And this morning we're going to do that. Let's go and pray and ask God to bless this time as we do it. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Thank you, Father, for the message and the reminder that there is no expiration on this of the mission you have called us to. So I pray that, Father, as we participate and as we give our faith promise today, I pray that you would take those offerings, that you would multiply them, and they would be used to literally impact. In fact, we saw in the presentation today, even this morning, those in Panama that are being impacted with what we're doing this morning. And Father, we want to do more for you this year than we did last year. Father, we want our heart to be one that reaches others, that looks beyond our homes and our own personal needs, but that looks to the needs of others. We want to look to the needs of others, not only physically of what they need, whether it's food or shelter, but we want to look even deeper than that and more importantly to the spiritual need that is there. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us in this faith promise to fulfill the promise we're making today. Then, Father, I also want to pray for Brother Billy. Father, we know that you are the great physician. And, Father, there's nothing that you could not cure if you wanted to. You have the power to do all things. And Father, you've allowed this to come into Billy's life for a reason and for a purpose. And though we may not understand it right now, and though we may not see all the reasons and all of why you're allowing it to happen, yet, Father, we know that you're in control of all things. And so, Father, what we pray this morning is that you would work your will in this situation. Father, if it be your will put your hand of healing. That's what we're asking for. Father, we're asking that you would be merciful and gracious to do it. But Father, if for your reasons and your purposes you allow him to go through this trial and you don't take it away tomorrow as you could, then Father, help us to be patient and to wait on you. I pray that you would give Billy the strength to endure what your hand has allowed to come into his life. Give him hope and give him faith during this time. Help him to be, Father, a help to his family, to strengthen his family during this time, that his faith in you would grow and become stronger as a result of all that you've allowed into his life. May the offering that we receive this morning, may it be a blessing to him. And may it encourage him to continue to move forward, to continue to reach others there in the place that you have called him to. So, Father, I pray that you would work all of this according to your will. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. All right, let's sing this song as the ushers go by. Send the light. There's a call, come drink, o'er the restless waves, send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light. Come let the gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Come let the gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. That second verse. Let's sing it. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And the golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. Don't let the gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, to bless the gospel light, let it shine. On the last verse. Let us pray that grace may everywhere about. Send the light, send the light. Grace every found, send the light, send the light, send the light. To bless the gospel. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light to bless the gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Amen. Isn't it awesome to impact eternity? I hope you're excited. We are dismissed this morning. Thank you for being here. Don't forget, we have our Sunday school classes from here, so please go ahead and make your way that way. Have a great week, and God bless you all.